This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Hey, we got some breaking news.
Oh, we got breaking news.
We got some good breaking news.
Hey, what is it?
Get ready for this, baby. I'll rip up this rundown.
Did you
forget the running back competition? Duke Johnson's a Houston Texan.
Oh, what?
Oh, wow, really?
Duke Johnson's a Houston Texan.
So the Texans trade for Duke Johnson.
Flatty O'Structure makes a deal.
Oh, that's good.
That was during crosstalk today. I hit him with the news and then dipped out. Fading away like Olajuwon. Duke Johnson.
Dropped the mic? Literally?
No, it stayed up. Just slammed the door. Walked out. Duke Johnson, a Houston Texan. Texans trade. Fourth rounder to the Cleveland Browns. Turns into a third if he plays 10 games. They address the running back depth issues that they had before. And there's some loopholes kind of hiking their leg, if you will.
I just got a text on the bat phone.
On this Duke Johnson thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand. I don't understand why you would do that. I mean, look. He's a backup running back. We get that. But you needed a backup running back. And this is a guy that we've been talking about for a few months as a guy the Texans should bring in. Mm-hmm. Texans don't usually do what we want them to do in these regards. I'm not sitting here acting like they signed Le'Veon Bell, but you brought in a guy that you have in your control for 3 years. You brought in a guy that would have been your second leading receiver last year. You brought in a guy who adds something to your offense that you've needed for a long time. He's a backup slot receiver as well for Kiki Kuti. And most importantly, the organization that we question the structure of the organization, we question how they would make moves, we question who would be making the moves, would they make the appropriate moves, they made a move that they needed to make, which is something that we did not expect. So You got to give credit where credit is due for the Texans. Now, does this mean that they're the favorite in the AFC South? No, it doesn't. But it means that you addressed a significant need and you are a better football team today than you were 12 hours ago.
You are. Being a backup running back is not like being a backup center or a backup guard, you know, or really even a backup receiver. You know, in an ideal world, you're going to have, you know, Hopkins and QT and Fuller, and you're rarely going to see another guy. But being a backup running back, you want to see him half the game.
Okay,
look, you know, so it's not, yes, he's a backup. He's integral for what they want to do.
You shouldn't be talking about football if you minimize a backup running back. I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your other sport of choice is, but you probably just shouldn't be talking about football. Like, save the thumb effort texting in if you're going to minimize a backup running back, because just look at the team that won the Super Bowl last season, the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Sony Michel was their leading rusher last year as a rookie. Rex Burkhead scored the game-winning touchdown in the AFC Championship. James White was one of their top receivers and one of the best threats in the backfield. And with those three guys in the third round, they drafted Damian Harris. The year before that, with the Philadelphia Eagles, they traded for Jay Ajayi. They had Clement score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. They had four active guys on their roster playing the running back position. So honestly, like, I get if you think that this is not the end-all be-all, and we're not going to sit here and act like Bill O'Brien pulled a Jeff Luno bringing in Zach Greinke or something like that, but if you're going to sit here and minimize bringing in a backup running back, then you honestly just probably shouldn't watch football. Seriously, like, you're wasting your time. Like, or at least don't try to text in about it and talk about it, because you sound silly and you sound rather foolish to act like having a backup running back isn't a big deal.
I mean, you did a good job there off the top of your head naming all the backup running backs
that
played significant roles.
It's what I do.
Who's the backup running back in Cleveland right now?
They like somebody, but it's Kareem Hunt.
It's Kareem Hunt.
It's Kareem Hunt.
What did Kareem Hunt do a couple of years ago?
He led the league in rushing, John. So he led the league in rushing.
If you're going to minimize a backup running back in the NFL, then Kareem Hunt is a backup running back, and he led the league in rushing, for goodness sakes. And again, forget all the other teams. For the Houston Texans, for Deshaun Watson, what he brings is going to be crucial. Not a nice add-on, you know, not a convenience, not cool, crucial. I mean, it's going to be crucial to be able to have him in the backfield go five wides. I can see him in that slot right now opposite Kiki QT on the other side. Just, I mean, pick your poison if you're in the secondary, because you got DeAndre Hopkins to worry about. You got a safety that's on his heels because of Will Fuller. This is an important, important thing. It really is for this team.
And my biggest problem with the running back position is not necessarily, you know, before they made this trade, it wasn't necessarily that Lamar Miller, I don't think he's good. I think Lamar Miller is valuable on a team, but I don't think he should be head and shoulders better than every other running back at every other thing that a running back can do.
Right.
He shouldn't be your best pass blocker, your best run between the tackle guy, your best run outside the tackle guy, your best receiver, all that. Lamar Miller is a valuable asset on most football teams in the NFL, but he should not be the guy that's better than everybody else at everything. I just don't feel like he's that good of a player. Duke Johnson now does something better than what Lamar Miller does. He's a better receiver out of the backfield. He's more explosive. He's more elusive. You just cited the stat about him breaking tackles. Mm-hmm. So now, at a position that is important, running back 1 through 3, 1 through 4 on the depth chart, at that position, the Texans got better, and I don't think you can minimize the importance of a backup running back. Landry Locker, John Lopez on a Texans game day. Dabo Swinney was in the news, the college coach of DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson. He was in the news because Clemson, they just got their national championship rings, and Kelly Bryant, who was the starting quarterback heading into last season before freshman Trevor Lawrence took over, Kelly Bryant transferred a few games into the season, ended up at Missouri. He did not get a championship ring from Dabo Swinney. I was okay with it, but I was surprised when the OG John Lopez came in today and he was ready to fire up one of the best coaches in college football.
Well, mostly because I was shocked that he did this. Dabo is a hell of a dude, a really good players coach, impossible not to like. And then he doesn't give Kelly Bryant a national championship ring. Let's keep one thing in mind. It's very much a possibility. I'm not going to say a probability, but it's very much a possibility that Clemson wouldn't have even been in the championship game or in the playoff had it not been for Kelly Bryant. Against the Aggies, they won 28-26. It was their closest game of the year on the road. They bring in Trevor Lawrence at halftime. He stinks. I mean, he was okay, but he didn't put any points on the board. All right, they bring back Kelly Bryant, scores 2 touchdowns, including what wound up being
one with his legs, one with his feet.
Right, what wound up being the game-winning points. So you're saying a guy that gave you a win on the road, and ultimately, had you lost that game, you might not have even been in the college football playoff. He's not worth a ring.
No, I mean, he transferred.
Who cares? That's not about who's on the team this year or who transferred. It's how'd you get to the championship game.
Now, my question would be this.
There's a real possibility you wouldn't have gotten to the championship game without Kelly Bryant.
My question would be this. Where is the line as far as who gets a ring? Because let me just give you an example. Let's say that Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers make another championship run this year. And let's say before the college football playoff, the news breaks that defensive coordinator Brent Venables is agreeing to go be the head coach, fill in the blank, at this place.
Right.
Let's just say wherever university. Brent Venables is going, and he leaves the program during the college football playoff, but he coached most of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
You think Brent Venables gets a ring?
100%. 100%.
Even if he doesn't coach in the playoff.
Tom Herman got a ring for Ohio State when he came to Houston.
But he actually called the plays.
He did call the plays.
He did stay around. I'm saying if he leaves. Yeah, I'm saying if he leaves.
But it doesn't matter. If you contribute to a national championship run, contribute could be 2 extra points in a close game, you know, a kicker. But this was the quarterback that led you to a win on the road that helped you get to the playoffs.
It's interesting.
And you don't get him a ring.
I'm assuming that Kelly Bryant probably thought he would get one.
Yeah, I think so. And he deserves one.
Well, he does not have one. He does not have the jewelry, to say the very least. It kind of sucks for him, but is what it is.
I wouldn't expect this from Dabo.
That's what I'm saying. I was surprised more than anything.
But I will say, you know, maybe Clemson's just anticipating more transfers. It just seems a little bit strange.
Is it a message to other potential transfers?
If Nick Saban did this, I would get it. Dabo Swinney, I just really didn't expect it. But Kelly Bryant will not get a championship ring. And, oh, by the way, this Saturday, 3 weeks away till the first college football Saturday of the season. Right. Can you believe that? That's going to be absolutely crazy. Lisa Ann knows her stuff, too.
Yeah, she does.
No, she really knows her stuff. Like, she knows her fantasy football. She puts in the work. Rick Kamla. He's got his own rankings. Like, he's got his own, like...
Like a spreadsheet?
Yes. Yeah. I asked him for a copy. Still haven't got it, Rick. So, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if you said I could have it and you didn't, but... I mean, I'm going to need that. Because tomorrow you're going to be at Little Woodrow's.
He's not
so
that guy, is he?
If you're listening... Well, I don't know, man. He's a new coworker of mine. Mm-hmm. I like his work.
Yeah.
Like
I'll
his hustle.
I'll get you that.
I mean, I still haven't gotten that spreadsheet, but... someone's about to get it because you're going to be at the fantasy football
forum.
Are you
going to make an appearance there?
I might.
You going to bring balloons?
No. Why it's not a party. It's a round table.
It's a party?
You bring balloons to parties, not round tables.
There's going to be some delicious food there.
No, you bring balloons to parties, not round tables. This is a known fact. I'm surprised you don't know this. I thought you knew a lot of stuff.
And in case you were listening yesterday around this time, my guy to my left is going to an all-guys fantasy football draft
this
with lots
correct.
Of meat and lots of drinks.
This is correct.
And taking balloons. And this not is just correct. Taking, not only just taking balloons, but doubled down this morning and purchased more balloons to take.
The NFL edition balloons. Absolutely correct.
You can take a charcuterie plate too?
Speaking of that, what in the heck is the deal with these things?
It's just a fancy way to say meat and cheese tray.
But it seems like the kids are all about these. Say it again.
Charcuterie. They just like to say charcuterie.
Charcuterie trays.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
They're not terrible. They're good.
It's a Lunchable.
No.
That's basically what it is. Like,
it's kind of these
charcuterie trays.
They're Lunchable on
they're
steroids.
They're Lunchables for like $60. Mm-hmm. And they throw some pickles and tomatoes in there. Like,
yeah.
I like Lunchables.
Cheese.
I like Lunchables, but they cost $1 at the store. These Jamokes, I don't want to say millennials or anything like that. But these trendy kids who sit there and make trends out of the most silly things are basically ordering big-ass Lunchables on wood trays, and they're paying like $60 for them. What the hell is going on in this world?
Hey, man, it's deli meats. Those are not cheap.
Okay. It's just a bunch of, like, nasty salami, and then they put the tomatoes on there?
First of all, salami is not nasty.
Salami, come on.
Secondly, deli meats are not cheap. There's cheese, and as you said, look, maybe a couple of gherkins. You ever had who doesn't like a good gherkin?
What is a gherkin?
It's that sweet pickle, that little smaller sweet pickle.
Man, is that the one with like the bumps on it?
Yeah.
Nah.
You don't like those? Nah. They're good.
Nah, I'm more of a dill dude.
I'm a dill dude myself.
Nah, these charcuterie trays got to stop.
They're good.
They make no sense.
They're good.
They make no sense. I was watching a show the other day, and they asked this girl what her favorite food was, and she said charcuterie tray. It's like,
come on now. She just likes to say that.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually at bougie places. I'm sure you've had your share of when's the last time you ordered a charcuterie tray? You never have, right?
We usually make them. Like if we have people over or something.
Why?
Because they're delicious.
No, they're not.
And they're fancy.
Just make something else. Get some chips and dip or something like that.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, next time I go to my trailer, I'll get some chips and dips.
Not good.
Maybe French onion.
Not
a good
decision.
To bring you some French onion dip?
Hell of a good.
With Fritos?
I'm a hell of a good dude.
Yeah?
Hell of a good with some...
Those are good.
With some jalapeno lays. But I don't get these charcuterie trays. Texans trade for Duke Johnson. That's the big news of the day. Loopholes are wanting to weigh in all over the place. So we'll give you the floor a little bit. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. My question is, with them trading for Johnson, what does that do as far as receivers' numbers and tight ends' numbers? Do that make it easier for them to keep Fields? Because I think, you know, since he's more of a blocking tight end, they probably want to keep him. Will that make them be easier to keep four and maybe drop the numbers receivers down to five since they, you know, he can line up in the slot?
That's an interesting point.
I think he nailed it with Fells. I think Fells is on the squad. And the reason is –
appreciate you, Jay.
Yeah, and the reason is when you get Duke Johnson in the backfield, a lot of times he's coming out of the backfield as a receiver. A lot of times he lines up out of the backfield, and you have a one back, just a quarterback with no backs. So what that does obviously puts a premium on pass protection, So you need a really good, reliable tight end that can help with the offensive line. Darren Fells is going to make this squad. I mean, he's making this squad because of that alone, and he's had a good camp. So you nailed it right there. As far as like other ways that he's going to help you, I mean, the numbers don't lie. He's going to come out of the backfield, line up everywhere. And I think it also ties in, Landry, with Bill O'Brien's approach calling plays. I know that's a sore subject. I've criticized him in certain situations. I think we saw a stat this week that, and you quoted the stat, what, 62%?
The highest time? Percent yeah. of first down runs in the first half and the highest percentage of running the ball after an incompletion
right.
in the NFL.
Well, any team worth its weight, you know, is going to self-evaluate. I think Bill O'Brien, seen Deshaun Watson, knows that he needs to spread the ball out more. And he needs to go a little more no back or one back sets, five wide, whatever you want to do. And I think him coming in helps you do that.
And also, when you're the one who traded for it, when you're the one, when Bill O'Brien, according to the reports by Ian Rappaport, is the one who made the trade, it probably makes you want to use the guy more.
Kind of?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, come obviously. On, it's like a draft pick. Draft picks yeah. always get the benefit of the doubt.
But sometimes the GM is drafting it for the coach.
Now it's
you know what I'm saying.
He's going to get more touches than he ever has if he's
yeah,
healthy.
But this is
because B.O.B. is
yeah, this
his,
is him.
His neck's on the line.
This isn't Rick Smith yeah. saying, "Hey, we need to keep this guy around. He needs to be
not
active.
A player that Bill O'Brien is kind of lukewarm about." And I know there's been a few of those on this squad. There's been a few players that maybe he didn't. You know, he lost the battle with the general manager, and he's like, "Man, I mean, just go down to all the third round picks that have been cut."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of those guys weren't Bill O'Brien
And it's
favorites.
Also his first one, and you know about that first time,
right.
OG.
You never forget your first.
You never forget your first. Let's go to Byron. Byron, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead. Go ahead, Byron.
Hey, guys, I'm a little appalled by you guys saying that if we're not excited about the Duke Johnson trade, that we don't know football.
No, well, no. Hey. I said if you minimize a backup running back, you don't know football. I mean, if you don't think he's good, that's fine. But I'm saying if you're not excited about a backup running back and you minimize the importance, then you don't know football, honestly.
Well, this is what I'm saying. We had a whole year to find a backup running back. We knew we had a handicapped, disabled backup running back in the season started. We had dreams of somebody coming back and playing football from Achilles tendon. So what makes him so smart now that he's going to get Duke Johnson? We need offensive linemen.
Man, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know if you're calling from like a basement or what. I have no idea. I couldn't understand what you were saying.
It sounded like he kidnapped someone and was muffling his voice for the reward.
He might have had the can on the ear, but
I think the gist of it.
I didn't.
Like basically, if I heard
not
because
right, I didn't want to, I just didn't understand.
No, I understand.
It.
No. You know,
he was pretty much saying we was way too excited about
why should we have so much confidence in Bill O'Brien, basically, cool. and this pick.
I mean,
and that's fine.
The jury's out for sure.
And someone texted me on my bat phone here.
Was it your son?
No, it
was. Was it Scott Knoll?
No. I got a lot of friends. It's not just my son. It's okay. Scott Knoll. basically texting me and saying, yeah, it's the right pick. But how much confidence do we have in Bill O'Brien using him right when he didn't do that with Lamar Miller?
Well, the point is I'm separating Bill O'Brien, and this is my whole point. And to all the skeptics, I understand the skepticism about Bill O'Brien as a coach.
Yes.
But I'm separating coach and GM for a second, and I'm saying as far as the GM goes, I think Bill O'Brien, the GM, hit a home run. Now, can the coach maximize what the GM did? I don't know. I know it's the same guy, but I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm evaluating Bill O'Brien as strictly an executive here and saying I like this move. I'll evaluate how he uses this and how he maximizes it when they start playing real games.
I'll keep it even more simple than that.
Keep it even more 100, baby.
Who's the most motivated in the building to use him?
I would think
to
B-O-B.
Get the most out.
I would
Bill
think
B-O-B. No one is more motivated to use and get the most out of Duke Johnson than Bill O'Brien. Done. I mean, period. You know,
a mic drop?
He's going to use.
Drop. Good Lord. Landry Locker, John Lopez on a Texans game day. Texans not the only team in action. There are 11 games around the NFL today. We're going to take a look at those when we go around the NFL next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.